good to be here. Man. Turn over to Mark 10, please. Don't go over there because I'm not there. But you can go to Matthew. I'll meet you over there. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, about verse 22. We started this on Wednesday. Amen. So it just seemed right to continue on. Amen. Matthew 10, about verse 22. It says, "And ye shall be hated of all men." For what? Amen. Is that something to be sad about? Amen. Is that something to be surprised about? Why not? Because he lets us know. He told you, look, you shall be hated of all men because of my name's sake. So should we be surprised about that? Amen. Should we back off because of that? Amen. Wonder how many people have. But he, I love the but. He that what? Endureth. Amen. But he that endureth to what? Shall be what?
Saved.
Amen. We'll pray and get started. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, and magnify your holy name. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, that you are doing for us, and that you will do for us. And we thank you for your word, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the office that you placed on my life. And Father God, I pull on that office right now, that pastoral office, by faith. We thank you, Father God, for your word. I thank you we come with an open mind, an open heart, a receptive heart and an open mind, and willing to look at the word with like we've never seen it before, Father God, with eyes that are looking at it like they're brand new. Because I thank you, Father God. When you come like that, you come hungry with an expectancy, with the hunger, with the hunger that reaches out and just grabs things and pulls them to you. When there's that kind of attitude, Father God, I thank you the Holy Ghost begins to unveil and reveal more truths to us because of the hunger. But when we come with a heart that's just got a hand up, nothing's going to be shown or helped to us, Father God. But I thank you. I thank you. That's not us. That's the other bunch of people. That's not us, because we come hungry. We come hungry for the word of God. And so, Father God, we thank you for it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody that agreed said, amen. He that endures to the end shall what? Key word is endure. And to the end. Amen. Shall be saved. It doesn't just talk about, it doesn't just mean shall be saved as in salvation. Amen. So he that endures to the end, because whenever you look it up, saved means saved from whatever. Saved from sickness, saved from lack, saved from depression. Amen. So he that endureth to the end shall be saved from lack, from sickness. Amen. Amen. He that endures to the end shall be delivered. He that endures to the end shall have their bills paid. He that endures to the end shall see victory. Amen. That's what that means. It doesn't just mean salvation. Amen. To endure, I'm going to read a definition to you. It means to last. Amen. To last. Look at your neighbor and say, to last. It also means to continue in the same state without perishing. Amen. To continue. Can you turn these lights on right here, please? All these are off over here. To continue in the same state without perishing. Yes. Means to remain. To abide, remain in existence. I love that one, to remain in existence. But also, I really love the whole thing. To last, to continue in the same state without perishing. And to remain. To remain. That means not quitting, not giving up, not stepping back, not crying, having yourself a pity party. Amen. Read your definition. She said this one the other day, and so I had to read it Wednesday, and it's really good. Listen, please.
All right. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Sometimes we read this during funerals and things like that. So it doesn't mean death. It means when we have the victory in the natural of what we have been believing for by faith and is manifested in our lives. Do you want me to do it one more time? Mm-hmm. I'll read it one more time. It doesn't mean death. It means when we have the victory in the natural for what we have been believing for by faith is manifested in our lives.
Amen. He that endures to the end shall be saved. The thing is, anybody can quit. Anybody can quit. Anybody can. But it takes somebody with tenacity. It takes somebody with some drive. It takes somebody that's hungry that'll continue moving forwards. See, it takes a special person, a person with some tenacity that doesn't have their feelings hurt, that doesn't get upset about little baby things, but just continues on moving forward. That's the person that endures to the end. Because anybody can quit. Anybody can. It's easy. It's easy. Easy. But it takes somebody with some heart, with some tenacity, with some drive, with some determination to continue moving forward. Right? I've talked a little bit Wednesday about, we was in the military. I don't know who we means, but I was in the military, and all the schools, well, you could even go back, any of y'all ever play any sports, playing sports, like in football, I forget how they called it, but the first few weeks, it was like two-a-days, and so what they're doing is they're trying to wean out the weak. They don't want people showing up that ain't hungry. They don't want people showing up that ain't got any drive. They don't want people being there that ain't going to help help the team out any. Because if we're on the same team and we're blocking and I'm giving my all and this person's just like, whatever, you can go if you want. Right? Who wants that kind of person on their team, right? So it's designed to wean people out, to get the weak ones out. Every school I went to in the military, the first week or 2 weeks, it was designed to crush you, to break your spirits, to make you have a pity party and give up. And I've seen a lot of people do it. A lot of people. But it takes somebody with a different kind of attitude. A different kind of attitude. Not somebody that's always gave up on everything just because it got hard. And is that how my life looks right now? Do I always give up on stuff just because it gets a little hard? And if I do, I need to start looking at myself and readjusting myself because now I have a quitting attitude. No, I don't. Well, do you quit a lot of stuff? I can't answer that. You can. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to make it through it if you just smile a little. Amen. Anybody can quit, right? Anybody can. They truly can. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. He that will continue forward and won't just give up just because it's hard. Satan, he wants you to do what? Once you know that, you're ahead of the game. Once you understand that Satan is really trying to make you quit, make you give up, trying to make you defeat yourself. Yeah. Once you know that, you're ahead of the game. Yeah. You're ahead of the game. You know, Michael Jordan, he wasn't even picked for the high school basketball team. Did y'all know that? Did he go and have a pity party? I could sit here and tell you many stories about athletes like that. Like that one girl, her mom, she'd wake up 4 something o'clock every single morning, and her mom told her, "You're going to be different. You're not going to be like everybody else. We ain't going to stay in this dump forever. You're going to be different, and I'm going to help you if you'll just continue to push forward." Did she want to wake up at 4 o'clock every morning and go for a run? Absolutely not. But she knew, I'm living a different life than everybody else. And so if I'm going to be different than everybody else, I need to do something different. What's different? Well, one thing is this right here. Because the more I get this on the inside of me, the more I understand I can endure to the end. I know what the end looks like if I'll just keep moving forward. I might not be able to see it right now, and it might look like all hell is breaking loose in my life. But if I just continue forward, I told it Wednesday, it just bears repeating. It was actually this year, it wasn't years ago, but Chelsea called me one day. I was at work. She called me and she was crying. She said, "We ain't got no money in the account for me to buy these groceries." And she called me crying. So guess what I did? We had ourselves a pity party and we cried and went around begging. We got into the Word and we actually just got into the Word and started speaking the Word over our account and over our lives. Look, just because it looked like we can't do anything doesn't mean we can't do anything. Because either I believe that the greater one lives on the inside of me or I don't. That's the thing. Either I'm going to endure to the end or I'm going to stop and give up just because it looks hard. I could have cried and threw a fit that we can't even buy groceries now. I could have threw a fit and went to God. God, why? Or I can get into the Word of God and find out what it says concerning my life. Amen. Concerning my bank account. Amen. Turn over to Psalms, please. Psalms 105. We're going to look it up in a few different ones. Let's look it up in the Passion first, please. Psalms 105, verse 15, sorry. Go to 17. "But he had already sent a man ahead of his people to Egypt." It was who?
Joseph.
Who was sold as a what? How many of y'all know the story of Joseph?
Amen.
If you don't, turn over to Genesis 37 and just start reading.
Amen.
And he was sold as a slave. Next. "His feet were bruised by strong shackles, and his soul was held by iron." God's promise to Joseph, what? What did it do? Until it was time for his dreams to come true. Purged means to rid. Means to rid someone or something of an unwanted quality, condition, or feeling. To purge means to rid someone or something of an unwanted quality, condition, or feeling. Amen. Pull it up in the NLT, please. Verse 17. "Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a what?
Slave.
They bruised his feet with fetters, and placed his neck in an iron collar. Until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's what?
Character.
Character. Pull it up in the Amplified, please. Just the Amplified, not the Classic. While you do that, I'm going to pull it up in the Phillips. Is that all right? Yes. Thank you. It says, wrong one. Let me go over to it. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a what?
Slave.
His feet, they hurt with shackles. He was put in chains of iron. Until the time that his word of prosperity, I don't even know what that means, a prophecy regarding his brothers came true. The word of the Lord tested and what?
Refined him.
Refined means purified and cultivated. It also means with impurities and unwanted elements having been removed by processing. Y'all remember that story? Man, I'm going to have to get y'all his name. I forgot his name. The one guy that went overseas and started the orphanage. This was years ago, obviously. And he knew that he was going to have a lot of kids there at the orphanage. So he went over there. And for a few years, he only had like four or five kids. That's it. For a few years. So he finally went to God and said, God, you know you called me over here to start this orphanage, but I only got these four or five kids. What's going on? I thought I was going to be affecting more lives and helping more people. And God told him, he said, well, I needed to make sure that you wasn't going to quit whenever it got tough. I needed to make sure that whenever times got hard, you wouldn't just throw your hands up and quit. Because if you got 1,000 or 2,000 kids and it got hard and you just quit, what am I going to do with the kids now? Amen. Amen. Yeah, we can go different ways with that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Refined, purified, cultivated with impurities and unwanted elements, having been removed by processing. A lot of times, and purged, it means to rid someone or something of unwanted quality, condition, or feeling. A lot of times, people are like, "Well, why can't I do this, or why can't I do that, or God, why this and that?" Well, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason it took me a little bit to become pastor, because I still had an attitude. And if I'd have preached whenever God would start dealing with me with the things on the inside of me to start correcting, if I'd have never started correcting them, I'd never be in this position. Because if I'd have got up here and tried to pastor with that kind of attitude, whenever somebody did something, it'd have been go time. And you can't pastor and fight everybody. You just can't. You can't pastor and get upset because somebody does something every single day or whatever. It's like being in kids. You can't be in kids and get mad at kids and throw a fit and get mad at them. I can't believe you do that. It's a kid. You can't put a grown-up head on a kid's body. So I wonder, a lot of times we're like, oh, God moved us into this position so that we can help all these people. Never, always, amen, 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 hallelujah, amen. Y'all all right? Yes, yes we are. Never get into anything with an attitude that you're always there for somebody else. If your attitude is always, well, I'm here for somebody else, you need to regroup. I should have heard that amen a lot better than that. Because a lot of times it's you. And God's trying to get something worked out of you. But yet our focus is always on somebody else. never on ourselves, and so that never gets fixed, that never gets adjusted, that never gets looked at and dealt with. And so I continually stay in the same position going, God, why? Why don't I get to do this? Why don't I get to do that? Well, fix this. But yeah, they probably need some more help. Amen. I don't know why we're over there. Moving on. Hallelujah. I wish, you know, I'm going to start carrying a mirror. That way y'all can see y'all's faces. He that endures to the end. He that endures to the end. Amen. Did Joseph endure? You ought to really read the story about it. He got, his brothers tried to kill him, threw him in a well, sold him to slavery. And then he was a slave. And then the king's wife, Pharaoh's wife, said that he was doing some stuff to her. Then he got thrown in jail. If anybody had the right to complain, besides Paul, anybody had a right. But did he ever say, you know, well, they're just treating me wrong, God, look at this. Well, God, you know, look at how they're acting towards me. Amen. Why are we going over this morning? Amen. You know, I was studying this morning, and I got really frustrated at my house. And I was like, son, we're going to get it this morning. It's just, but we ain't went that way. Amen. And it's fine. Amen. Turn over to Ephesians real fast, please. I need y'all to answer this sincerely. You ain't got to answer it out loud. Answer it to yourself. Can Satan defeat you? And I really need you to answer that sincerely. Can Satan defeat you? We have to answer that. We have to know. Is Satan powerful enough or big enough or great enough? Can he defeat me? If I don't know who I am or who lives on the inside of me, yes. But if I do understand what the Word will do in my life, then no. He doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the authority. And he doesn't have the right. And so if I don't know that, then I will continually live a defeated life. Ephesians 6:13, Amplified, please. Ephesians 6:13, it says, therefore, put on God's complete what?
Armor.
That you may be able to what? Amen. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to what? Resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly where? Next. Stand therefore. I love this next part. What does it say?
Hold your ground.
Hold your ground.
Amen.
Hold your ground. Amen. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with what? Right standing with God. But stand therefore. Go back. Stand therefore. Hold your ground. Stand, therefore, hold your ground. Don't give up ground. Don't live a defeated life. Hold your ground.
Amen.
Amen. The Phillips on this one, it says we are up against the unseen power that controls the dark world and spiritual. Therefore, you must wear the whole armor of God that you may be able to resist evil in its day of power, and that even when you have fought to a standstill, you may still stand your ground. When you have fought to a standstill. I've felt like that before. I really have. I spoke the word command of faith, and then I just continue forward. But everything in the natural said, what you just what you're believing for is not coming to pass. And if I just threw my hands up and said, well, I guess that ain't God's will. I guess I wasn't in faith about that. If Satan will get us questioning if we're in faith or if it's God's will, then obviously we're being defeated and we're losing ground. But if we just continue to stand, I've said it 1,000 times, bears repeating, in the military, in basic training, obviously the first week, our first 2, 3, 6 weeks maybe, is just basic training. They are weaning out the weak and the people that really don't want to be there. The people that just think they're there for whatever reason, because their mom told them to be there, because their dad told them to be there, whatever reason it is. They're just weaning out the weak. And I actually just made a decision one day. I said, you know what? I'm not going to let them defeat me. I'm not. I'm going to do whatever I have to do, whatever they tell me to do. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of beating me. And so any times they'd start smoking us, I'd go out till I'd almost just pass out. Why? Because the drive, I don't like it if somebody's winning except me. That's the thing. Do you want to win or do not? Or do you just, whatever. I could win or not win. Well, if we want to win, then even though we come up against a wall sometimes, do we go, there's no way getting over this. Well, maybe God wants me to do something else. Well, why would God want you to do something else if he told you just in Mark 11, 23 and 24, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, or believe in your heart, if you believe and you say it, it'll come to pass. Right? If you speak to the mountain, it'll be what? Removed. So if you speak the command of faith, and you continue forward, even though you're up against a wall, continue forward. Don't allow Satan to put up a roadblock or something, because God's not going to put up a roadblock.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So what is going on? Amen. Hallelujah. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, having put on the breastplate of integrity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Go to Galatians 6:9. Pull up, stay there, Clint, and pull it up in the Good News Translation, please. Yeah, Ephesians. Go back to 13 real fast. So put on God's armor now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to what? And after fighting to the end, you will still hold what? Next, please. I wrote this down in big, bold letters. So stand ready.
Amen.
So stand ready. So stand ready. Whenever David came up there and Goliath was, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defiles the army of God? And then they tried to give him, Saul tried to give him his armor. He said, no, I ain't trained with that. Give me what I know. Give me what I know. The thing is, what a lot of times what we know is, oh God, why me again? Oh God, what's going on now, God? Why is this? But if we know what the Word of God says concerning the situation, then we know something different than, oh God, not again. Amen. So stand ready. David said, give me what I know. And so he went out there. He got his stones and he went out. And they said he actually started running after Goliath. And Goliath, they actually say that Goliath, the reason that he hit him in the forehead, you know he had a helmet on, right? The reason that he hit him in the forehead, because Goliath looked at him and started laughing. And when he threw his head back, he let that stone go and it hit him right in the forehead and killed him. Because he didn't want to try to, you know, well, let's try this now. Well, let's try that now. Well, let's try to pray this way. Well, let's try to pray that way. Well, let's get on the roof and scream. Just give me what I know. But if I don't know the word, then I'm at a loss then. Yes. So stand ready. Am I standing ready or am I giving up? Galatians 6:9. It says, and let us not be weary, where? For in due season. For when? For when? In due season. We shall reap if we what? Pull it up in the classic, please. For in due season. We shall reap if we faint not. And let us not what? If Satan can get you depressed, can get you sad, then you will be loose heart. You will grow weary. You'll start feeling sorry for yourself. You'll start feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah. I don't know why this always happens to me. I feel like every step I get forward, I get knocked back three. Every time I feel like I get a victory here, I feel like I lose ground over here. Amen. And let us not lose heart and grow weary. You know Hamburger Hill. Y'all ever heard about that, right? Hamburger Hill, the war. Right? It was actually 101st, but moving on because I was at 101st. But anyways, you know that they would take that mountain? They'd take it, and then they'd get the call, y'all go back down. So they'd go back down. You know what they'd do the next day? Take it again. This happened a few times, not one time. A few times. They would take the mountain, the hill, and then they'd get told to go back down. Then they'd take it again, and then they'd get called to go back down. I wonder how many of them was like this. Amen. Maybe one or two, maybe. Maybe, but I doubt it. Because if it was like that, then it would have been worse. Amen. But I guarantee they were like, all right, you want this mountain again? We'll take it again. Amen. They didn't lose heart and grow weary. Too many times we're too easy on ourselves, too soft on ourselves. We got to look ourselves in the mirror and say, stop being a baby. Grow up. Get up and move forward. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor really does love you. And I really do. But I don't like it when I see a defeated Christian. I don't like it when I see any of us defeated. I don't. I do not like it. Because there's too much that God has done for us. Satan is defeated. He's a defeated foe. And we just got to stay with the Word of God. If we stay with the Word, it'll stay with us. That's the thing. Well, you know, but you don't know what I'm going through. You wasn't there when Chelsea called me crying either. Saying I can't. She was already in line, grabbed all the groceries, and now she can't even pay for them because there's that many money in our account. So we just had to talk to ourselves and say, you know what? We're not defeated. I could care less. We could have threw the biggest pity party, thrown a fit, cried, started trying to sell everything, or we could have gotten to the Word, which is what we did, and started telling ourselves, you know what? The greater one lives on the inside of us. The greater one lives on the inside of us. Satan, he's a defeated foe. Not only that, if we give, it'll be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Just because it doesn't look like I don't see any running over doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to me. All I got to do is just continue moving forward, and I will see the running over. But if I stop right now, I'll never see the running over because I'm throwing too big of a pity party. Now my eyes are off the running over, and now they're on the lack. And why me now? Why again? Why am I? Look, God, you don't see what's going on? I'll never see the end if I continually look at that. But if I just look, the children of Israel, right? Whenever they were going through and the snakes were biting them, what did God say? Keep your eye on what? On the stick, right? They made the serpent. He said, as long as you look at this, even though everything, all the snakes are biting you, none of them will kill you. None of them. And so they just walked like this. That's such a sermon by itself, with just walking with their head up, looking at the pole. Not looking at the situation around them. Not looking at what's going on in their life. Right? Because how hard would that have been? Seriously. You're walking along and snakes are biting you. I don't like snakes. Zoe got one because her sister bought it for her. I didn't. That wouldn't happen. But Zoe got one and I told her, if it gets out and you hear a gunshot, you know what happened? Oh, you wouldn't do that. Let it out. We'll find out real fast. And this thing it's about that long maybe? Like big as my pinky? I could care less. Just thinking about that thing just slithering around make me want to go home and throw it out the window. But I won't because I said I wouldn't. So only reason. No. But how hard would that have been? Snakes are biting them as they're walking. Come walk with me, please. Come here, Chelsea. Please.
I'm not Jesus, and I ain't high enough. But let's, like the exit sign, keep your eye on the exit sign, all right? And you try to distract him like, hey, come over here. So he's got to walk. So you just walk, right? And distractions of life. Hey, the kids are sick again. The kids are sick again. What are we going to do about the bills? But the car payment. My car needs tires again. It needs tires. But I hit a curb. I hit the curb.
Made it.
My car needs oil change again. The kids need more shoes. I just bought them shoes. Yeah, 3 months ago. They're growing. Well, tell them to stop. I heard this minister talking about He said, we were at church and this one guy was just singing and praising God, talking about, is there any mountain God can't tunnel through? You know, just getting it. And then on the way home, his wife said, hey, our son needs some more shoes, and he lost everything. He said, what do you think I'm made out of, money? But was just singing about, is there no mountain God can't tunnel through? And then lost it all over a pair of shoes. See, are we enduring to the end, or are we growing weary and fainting and falling away? Fainting and falling away, I'm going to, look, this is the old Ricky. All right, everybody understand that? I was in the military, and one night we decided to go tie one on, if anybody knows what, drink a little bit. And so my squad leader got mad at us. Would you say, no, I don't? You a liar. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. We went out drinking one night. My squad leader found out about it the next morning, and he was mad because we didn't invite him. And so he goes, that's fine, fellas. Y'all want to act like that? We're going for a 4 or 5 mile run. It ain't the first time, I'll be honest with you. So I was like, whatever. So we start. Son, he's trying to kill us. I ain't lying. But I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of winning. I was running and dry heaving the whole time, but I continually ran. I wouldn't stop. Was I hurting? Absolutely. Absolutely, I was hurting. Even now, me and JJ are kind of having a competition about running. Even the other day, I was running to do a mile, and I started cramping up a little bit. And so I wanted to stop. But all I could see was JJ going, I ran this fast. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let JJ win. He did beat me on time, but I ain't quitting yet. We're still continuing. Yeah, we're enduring till the end. I'm going to continue till I beat him. It's going to happen. But I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of winning. I wouldn't. And so I continually ran. A couple guys fell out. They just gave up. They were like, why I got to do this just because he's mad? But why? Why give him the satisfaction? Why give Satan the satisfaction of keeping you out of what God promised you, of what you're believing God for? Why give him the satisfaction of that? Endure to the end. Stay with it until you see it manifest. Stay with it. Don't allow things to jerk your slack out. Right? Like we was pulling on Jim. Don't allow things to get your eyes off God and off what he promised you. Because going along, it's easy to get distracted by, oh, the kids are sick again. Oh, we got this bill again. Oh, we got this other bill again. Now we need 4 more tires. Now we need 6 more tires. Now we got to pay for this. Now the water heater's out. Now we need some more food. Now they want to play baseball. Now there's soccer. And so if we allow all of this to start pulling our attention, then we are going to grow weary, because now we're not getting fed like we need to by the word, but we're allowing the things of the world to feed us. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Faith is not a rush. It's a rest. Yes. Amen. Faith is not a rush. It's a rest. We shall reap if we faint not. I told this story before, but Brother Keith and Phyllis, they were believing God for a car. And they said, by this time, we'll have a car. And he said, the reason that I gave it a time limit, because I heard somebody else give a time limit. So he's like, well, if they give a time limit, I can. But God didn't tell them to. Keyword. And so they were like, well, we'll have it by this time. Well, he said they stayed up that night till 11:59. And then midnight hit, and they said that we didn't say nothing to each other, but we just went to bed. And then later on, a few years later, he is talking to God about it, and God said, well, you allowed a little clock on the wall to tell you that you can't have what you were believing me for. You allowed time to tell you that you couldn't have what you were believing me for. He said, as soon as the clock hit midnight, you let go of your faith. And so he said, all right, what can we do? He goes, well, you can pick it back up. He said, I can? Yeah. So he went home and told his wife. And so they picked it back up and said, all right, God, we're getting back in faith about this. And somebody came up to him and told him, hey, whatever vehicle y'all want, y'all pick it out, just let me know and I'll pay for it. So they went to the showroom floor of this place and got the exact vehicle they were believing God for years ago.
Amen.
But he that endures to the end. Did they get it overnight? No, it was still like 2 or 3 years after that. It wasn't an overnight deal. It was 2 or 3 years after that. And so they just continued in their faith. See, that's the thing. A lot of times we think whenever somebody's believing God for something, they get it overnight. That's not it.
Amen.
This truck that I have now, it took me, what, 5, 7 years?
Amen.
Faith is not a rush. It's a rest.
Amen.
And you just get in it, and you just start moving forward. And you don't allow things in life to get you off. Get your attention to get you distracted. You allow the Word of God to keep you steady and moving forward. Whenever we walk by faith, we don't have to act how we feel, right? Amen. Because you can feel sad but act happy. Not really acting. You're telling your body the truth, what God says. And I'm happy, so I will be happy, right? Amen. We don't have scriptures that promise us our bills will be paid by sundown. And we don't have scriptures that promise us that these symptoms will be gone by Friday. Amen. But what we do have, you can turn over to Mark 11:23, please. Amen. Y'all don't have the Weymouth. I'm gonna pull it up. Mark 11:23 says. I'm going to read it to you out of the Weymouth real fast. Well, I'll read that one first for you. Oh, you found the Weymouth? My man. Look at you. In solemn truth, I tell you that if anyone shall say to this mountain, remove and hurl thyself into the sea, and has what? We need to make a mental note of that. We need to make a mental note of that and has no doubt about it. No doubt about it in his heart. No doubt about it in his heart. But steadfastly believes that what he says will happen, it shall be what? Steadfastly, I looked it up. It means firmly, with consistency or steadiness of mind. Firmly, with consistency or steadiness of mind. And then I looked up consistency. It means steadfastness of mind under duress. Steadfastness of mind under duress. Amen. Under Satan saying, it ain't so. It ain't so. Look at your body. It ain't healed. Look at it. Look at the pain you have. Well, I don't go by what I feel. I don't go by what I see. I go by what the Word of God says concerning my body. Not by how I feel. If I went by how I feel, I'd just stay in bed a lot of times. A lot of times, I wouldn't even come up to the pulpit if I went by what I feel. Steadfastly means firmly, with consistency or steadiness of mind. And then consistency means steadfastness of mind under duress. Hallelujah. And solemn truth I tell you, that if anyone shall say to this mountain, if anyone shall say to this sickness, if anyone shall say to this lack, if anyone shall say to this depression, if anyone shall say to this fear, because what's the mountain? What's your mountain that you're speaking to? That's the thing. It could be a literal mountain if you want it to, but what's the mountain? What's your mountain? Remove and hurl thyself into the sea. And shall what? And has what? And has no doubt about it in his heart. But steadfastly believes that what he says will happen. It shall be what? God's word. We got that one? Yeah? Will you pull that one up, please? I can guarantee this truth. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't what? But believes what he says will happen. This is what will be done for someone who doesn't doubt, but believes what he says will happen.
Amen.
He can say to this mountain or whatever, be uprooted and thrown into the sea. And what?
It will be.
See, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be a literal mountain. Whatever's standing and blocking you, standing in front of you, that's the mountain. So what's in front of you that you need to remove, that's trying to hinder you, that's trying to stop you? Is it fear? Is it worry? Resist them. Resist them. Just look at it and say, you know what? From this day forward, I won't worry anymore. Well, what if I worry tomorrow? Okay, recognize it, repent for it, and say, I'll do better.
Yes.
Well, what if I worry in 3 days? Okay, recognize it, repent for it, and move forward. Amen. That's what we do. We try to do exactly what we talk about. If I mess up, I just say, God, you know, because, you know, do I talk perfect to Chelsea all the time? I'd love to say yes. We're getting there. We're learning, right? Almost. But I have to say, God, I repent. I repent. And then I ask her to forgive me for being short or talking ugly. And then I'll say, you know what? I'll do better.
Amen.
Well, what if you do it again the next day? Well, I do the same routine. I just go, what are you doing? You know better than this. Because you can't walk in faith and then have strife at the same time. You can't operate in faith and have strife at the same time. You can't. Because where there's strife, there is every evil work. Amen. All right. We'll stop. Did y'all get anything out of that? Well, I hope you did. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we will endure.
We will endure.
Until I see what I'm believing God for. Amen. You believe it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Well, Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you, magnify your holy name. We thank you for your word. We thank you, we will be doers of